Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. What's up? Welcome, Keith, Mally, and Hemda. Hello.
Very impressive. Hi, how are you? Getting that air in the lungs.
I feel good. You know, I feel reborn. I had a good weekend. I had a nice conversation with some friends. I joined a Young Adults with Cancer support group.
Nice.
Which was really like, whew, boy, my other group members, they got a lot going on. And I was like, you know what? You know what, everyone? Life is for the living. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to go places. I'm going to see things. I'm going to live, laugh, love, and dance like no one's watching. And so I've been doing that for the past couple days. So we'll see how long it lasts. But
that's great.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of like inspirational quote on like a dish towel kind of vibe. I'm doing a lot of like putting an engraving on like a keychain, you know, that sort of like energy. I'm doing like long flowing dress. I'm doing floppy hat. I'm doing Eat, Pray, Love, Julia Roberts. You get
it's it. It's all the stuff that we want to make fun of. And then we're like, fuck, it works. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we have been shamed into being like, bah, I'm taking care of myself. I comb my hair now. You know, it's just, I think it's because for me, it's when we were younger, the self-help people weren't doing it, but they were speaking it. And it was just so densely saturated with bullshit. So now I had to undo that so that I could actually appreciate it.
Yeah, you feel like you're having some sort of like a breakthrough when you're like, you know what I should do? Have fun and enjoy life.
Well, I see you colored your hair. This is good news, you're saying.
Well, I'm a brunette now. You know, I always had blonde hair growing up. And then I had a 4-year period in my late teens, early 20s that I call the brown hair period. And back then was when I had brown hair, and it looked a lot like this. As you can see, if you're seeing me, Keith and Hemda, it looks like this. And if you're not seeing me, picture brown hair. You got it. Right. So
if this is a movie, you're evil now, right?
Yeah. Right. So, well, it's like in the Sex and the City movie when Carrie's embarrassed that Vogue article is coming out. She has to dye her hair and she says, my head's in the witness protection program. Mm. But really, it's just, you know, a change and temporary because I really don't feel like myself with brown hair. It's brown hair Bianca. She's not the same as me. She's a little different. And I guess she likes to have fun. She lives.
You're
going to
have a different summer.
Yeah. I'm having a brown hair summer.
Interesting.
Is your family treating you different?
Yeah. They like me more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Don't look too much into it. If you're happy, they're happy. Everybody's happy.
Because I look more like them now. You know, they can
relate.
Herd mentality.
I had a great uncle who used to always be like, where'd you get that blonde hair? And it was so confusing to me. And so I said, my mother and father. Like, I was trying to really answer the question. Like, I was born with it? Anyway, he didn't have all 10 fingers. Moving on. We have to get to the episodes of last week.
Sure.
Episode 3285 is called Forgivey. Mm-hmm. And that's a Keith and Hem to wrap them up. Boom, news. Boom, this guy's bad. Boom, this guy's also bad. You thought this guy was bad before? listen to what else is bad about him. You thought you had enough. No, take it. Take it all, bitch. Take it in the face.
It's really fun to be Keith's friend.
That is our style.
Yeah. I do like it because then I get to know, you know, what to say around Keith in order to not get yelled at. Before that episode, I was going to come on here being like, you know who I love? Jeff Ross, Chris D'Elia, and Danny Masterson. And now I save myself that embarrassment.
This is prep for how people should talk to me, and I'm glad you got it.
Yeah.
I was so excited that we named the show for Givey. I didn't know that Keith would go for it. A BoJack reference. I love that episode. I referenced it. So when you said the number of the show and then reminded me that the title was for Givey, I got an extra burst of something. Nice. That was fun.
Yeah, I think that's a hilarious concept that you receive an award for the best apology tour.
Right.
If there were real forgivies, who do you
Which
think
there are, in a way.
Would get one?
Oh, wow. Is it Mel? Who's the one with the Jews? The problem
Mel
with the Jews?
Mel Gibson, yeah.
He's the best. That was awesome. Whatever he did. I hardly remember, but I bet Keith does. I bet he yelled his apology. That's fun. Keith, can you remind us?
There was no apology of any kind.
Even better.
From Mel Gibson. And he said, why are people listening in on my private phone calls? He addressed it that way on The Late Show instead of addressing why he's using the N-word and hoping that N-words rape his girlfriend.
Boom. Forgivey. Love it. Love
and
it.
And then he made that weird movie with Jodie Foster where there was like a puppet. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Forgivey. He's fine. This is in the same, it references BoJack, the same series that BoJack got something like an Emmy for his book. And part of his thank you was, do you guys know this is neither a movie or a commercial? I don't know. It was like for two different categories in the same one and neither of which was a book. So again, BoJack, gotta watch it. It's genius. Thank you, everybody. That was the PSA for today.
Well, I thought that Whitney Cummings, I guess she gets a forgivey for her comment. A forgivey by association. Right?
She said, I wasn't aware of what's going on with men being creeps, and now I know. And I will put my foot down when I need to.
Well, didn't she say I wasn't aware of Chris D'Elia's bullshit, you know? Mm-hmm. I also think, like, you know, we turn to his co-star and it's like, that's unfair. Now everybody that I've spoken to, yeah, I don't know, you know?
I hear you. Except one of these tweets said, actually, I was underage and I was with Chris and I ran into Whitney and Whitney said, wow, Chris, they keep getting younger.
So, okay.
Just
well,
a fun
I
fact.
Mean, I guess she's, what is she going to do? You know, like.
Sure.
Go into their house and kidnap the girl and be like, you're too young. And then she gets arrested for being a kidnapper, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, Keith, what do you think? What would you do if you had a friend or somebody in your community who you knew, like, dated right on the
cusp.
Edge? On the cusp, what would you say?
I feel like
first
we
of
do.
All, if you're into barely legal porn, you're probably into illegal porn. I would, that's exactly what she did. I think I'd be like, what the fuck? Maybe that was her way of saying what the fuck, but it rubbed the young woman wrong. That's all I know. I'm still waiting on Chris D'Elia's podcast. It still hasn't come out yet.
I don't know that we're supposed to be doing something if they are legal. There's actually nothing you could do. You can say, like, this guy is a creep for, you know, constantly dating people 20 years younger. And sometimes we get shit for that. It's like, oh, well, they're an adult and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, sorry that I said a 50-year-old dating a 23-year-old is weird. I'm sorry. Oh, I just got to forgive you. You know what? It does feel good. Thank you.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, but I don't want him to confusing the situation. These girls weren't of age. Some were. Yes, many weren't.
Yeah, but I don't. If I didn't know that some of them were actually underage, you know, where I like, I know, I don't know anybody who's dating. I don't know anybody who's dating underage, but I do know people who are like, why are you with a 22-year-old? I can't say anything about that other than ew.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that have to do with this, though? They weren't. They were underage, and I don't want people to forget.
No, I mean, the person she said that to, they keep getting younger. I don't know that that person was underage. Was she?
She said she was underage, yes.
Ooh. Cool. All right. I'm sorry. I would like another forgivey. I'm happy to go on tour. I have my Zoom set up. Here we go.
Ay, ay, ay. I mean, yeah, this episode was, you know, a bear. The rally in Tulsa that was underattended, the Trump rally. But that was kind of a good news thing where, like, not even lots of camera tricks of the trade could hide the fact that there was no one there.
Speaking of tricks, the great Matt Baer wrote, one of his exes wrote in trying to defend him about reaching out to my 12-year-old stepson. And that was fun to wake her up and be like, oh, I'm not the one who's pushing it. You are. Your friend's a creep and you should know.
What do you think of that, Bianca?
Did it seem too much because he's dead? Who cares?
Well, I mean, I think the letter writer sounded like a grieving friend, and it's hard to see like the mistakes that your friend might have made if you're in that headspace. But I mean, I get what you guys are saying. It's like don't just ignore bad things that people do or things that make you uncomfortable. Just because it's easier to be like, no, he's a good guy. It's like, right. Well, if he's never done anything that made you think he's a good guy, then he might not be.
Right. Right. I also feel like it's not easier. If anything, I have to imagine that she's beating herself up over different things that she's done.
Right.
And now she should know, stop it. He was a jerk.
Yeah. I mean,
That's upsetting to some people, Keith. Just letting you know an emotion that happens here. Yeah. You don't have to feel it, but it's upsetting to make that realization.
Yeah, I think that when people listen to the podcast, and it's not just with Keith and the Girl, but I think with many podcasts, you listen so much that
don't
you
say
feel
that. It's Keith and the Girl. Please continue.
With Keith and the Girl, you feel like, you know, well, they'll definitely see where I'm coming from because we know each other, because right. I know them, so they understand my heart and my mind. So, like,
and here's the good news. She was right. We do understand you, and that's why we read it correctly.
Right, but I think even before that with Matt, you know, him sending the hat and doing all these things and being like, it kind of spiraled out of his control. The narrative spiraled out of his control. He had one idea in his head about how it would go. Everybody would be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love it. So cool. And he really wants to get it to Benny. And then.
Yeah. And that reminds me of Keith's dad. Who's right. Like, oh, your mother's very upset and he expects it to go one way. And when it doesn't, he needs a forgivey.
Right.
I'm just going to keep using that word.
I didn't mention this, but the two women, the one that didn't, that said, hey, watch out, this guy is unhinged. And the woman that said, we dated, we broke up, but he wasn't such a bad guy. They definitely do know each other. They definitely were referring to each other because when they both used the name Benny, they spelled it B-E-N-I. Nobody spells Benny that way in the whole wide world. So they must have been talking back and forth one way or another.
I'll tell you this. If Keith ever solves a crime, it'll be grammar related only.
Right.
Okay. He once dissected a text and he's like, obviously this person that because this isn't capitalized and this isn't and whatever. And he backspaced here. And I was like, holy shit, you don't need red string for this? That was magical.
Right.
Well, I think I just figured it out, Keith. He was trying to send the hat to Benihana, the restaurant.
Okay.
So
he's such a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, so it's just a sad story. And the hat, I mean, what are you going to do with the hat?
Right.
And that's the saddest part.
And for this guy, Matt, who's in heaven right now, looking down, let him know that Benny knows about the death hat and that it's in my possession now. And his reaction is, yeah, weird.
I love that we know who exactly Keith is talking about when he goes, Matt.
Well, he personalized it, you know.
Yeah. It's, you up know and what? Down names. You're on notice.
If mm-hmm. any dream came true of his, it's that somebody finally is pronouncing his name right. So you're giving him something.
We all win.
The poll was about another death. So yes. Just to stay consistent.
Well, the great Kurt Cobain's guitar in his MTV Unplugged show sold for $6 million, the most expensive guitar of all time. And the poll was, did Kurt Cobain kill himself? 26% say no.
And Hemda is one of them, right?
It just, I saw the documentary, and there was speculation to begin with, even, that was quickly skirted away. Apparently, the shotgun is not in the position where somebody would kill themselves. There was some really weird, shady shit going on right before the death. And there was a private investigator that broke his NDA in order to tell us some shit. So I don't know.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that was the end. Okay. All right. So there you have it.
Okay. Well,
Keith, you saw the documentary. What do you think?
Yeah, if people are wondering what documentary I saw, it's whatever one was the most popular. I don't see documentaries that aren't popular. The documentary sold me that Courtney was the murderer. I remember that. I don't really remember the documentary, though.
Well, it's worth a watch.
I haven't seen any documentaries about any of it. So what does that tell you? You know?
That you're not allowed to vote.
The conspiracy is growing, you know? Some of us haven't even seen these documentaries. So what does that say, you know?
That you were never into Nirvana, I guess?
They're trying to stifle the truth by having me not see these documentaries. It's
now, how freaked out would you be if it came up into your timeline in the next day or two?
I wouldn't. I'd be like, they're surveilling me at all times. It, you know, it's like, of course.
I was in the studio the other day and I played the Gimme Shelter from the Rolling Stones on YouTube. I got home and played it on iTunes. They're not connected in any way. I said, play music. It played Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones.
War children is just a shadowy.
Yeah, do you ever get something in your timeline? You're like, what the fuck are you listening to me? And then you kind of go, fuck. All right, thank you. Click on it. You're like, all right, yeah, thanks for the reminder. Thanks for the link.
Well, here's Bianca's article corner, a new feature of the episode where I talk about an article I read. There's this academic writer named Shoshana Zuboff who is – kind of a leading researcher in this, you know, area of study called surveillance capitalism, where she goes into detail about how corporations are kind of using our information data and our data in order to control us, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she wrote a book about it, but there's a big article
I love that there's enough material for a book. Love that.
She's like, so smart, and she has iconic hair. I suggest Google image searching her and reading about it because it's very interesting. And then you'll get recommendations about interesting stuff.
That's right. Your light reading for the week, everybody. Just pick that up.
Yeah, I think I'm bothered enough as is. I don't really need to read more about it. I told you how I went. I was using Groupon. Or I have Groupon on my phone. Anyway, I went to a restaurant. I paid with a credit card. I come home, didn't use Groupon. Groupon sends me an email and says, oh, you were just at this restaurant. You fucked up. Make sure you take advantage of Groupon next time. I'm like, motherfucker, wait a day.
Yeah.
Or at least like do some retroactive shit for funsies. Give me a reason to open my app.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like it one bit. Sometimes I just put like a chainsaw in my cart just to throw them off the scent.
That's great. You know?
And then I just got to guess. And then I just have to guess, hey, why? How did they figure this out? And I guess my credit card's connected to Groupon and they just follow my credit card around. However you look at it, it's a shady bad business.
I'm filling carts up all over the internet with just, confusing paper trail so that nobody knows that I don't actually want, three boxes of Freeze Pops.
Right.
Ooh, it's like I should put stuff like a beehive. Yeah, just right in my cart.
And then you can figure out who's spying on you. It's like people using fake emails for, in case they get junk, you know where it came from.
And then, there's the cart overlord, like, oh, she put a chainsaw and Freeze Pops in her cart. What is she trying to tell us? And then they go insane slowly.
Yeah, computers everywhere start breaking.
Whoa, smoke comes out of them. That song plays. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Moving on.
Yes.
Episode 3286, Let Liberty Ring with Sergio Chicone. What a guest. What a firecracker of fun and energy. I felt like there was a lot of visual performing elements that were happening. And Keith would be like, and Sergio has his eye to the camera, and okay, Sergio has put his hands up in the raise the roof formation, and Sergio's waving to passersby in a pretend, and he's like just doing it, and then Keith at one point was just like, all right, never mind, the audience will maybe use their imagination.
Now. Just assume. You know how, when you're on a video chat, and everyone has been on it at this point, you take up a third of the camera about, right? He somehow took up all of the corners of the camera all the time. Then his puppy would pop into the camera and it's like, ah, it's my puppy. But he was fantastic.
So much fun. I loved him. And I thought you were so right, Hemda, describing him as the Lower East Side Buddha.
Interesting, right? Like he had a lot of really positive stuff to say from a very personal perspective. And I love when people like Keith goes, so did you want to drink as soon as the pandemic was there? And you expect like, a recovering person to be like, no, man, like everything's cool. He's like, oh, yeah,
absolutely.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then he's like, the Lower East Side wasn't so bad. Yes, there was a lot of heroin and a lot of like fights down the block and you really couldn't walk one way or another, but it was a family. I love it. I love all of that.
Artists, we've all seen Rent. You guys get it?
He was fantastic.
25,600 Sergios.
I'd never met him before, so it's just a total. This was a recommendation by Kyle Ocasio, and it was just a delight. Now, what was mic check like? Because I remember some issues.
Yeah, he had a time. There's something about Kyle and everybody she knows that. I don't know when you guys are going to get to hear from Kyle again. I think out of nervousness, they try to jump to the next step and they don't want to look stupid or foolish. And that just fucks things up. So these setting, we just had Carmen Lynch on, setting her up took half an hour.
Because they do things like, so Xerxes goes, okay, so on your top left, and they just hit the X on the top left and they're like, I can't hear you anymore. It's like, oh my.
Right.
Oh don't my
do
God.
Do anything.
He just said top left. And you just hear, if you watch Keith and me, we're like, Keith is continuing putting the show notes together. He's like, this is going to take a while. I'm on my phone. No one's looking at the camera because we're like, if we even look, it's just going to be a mess. And all you hear is every here and again, Xerxes goes, okay, don't do it. Don't you do it yet. Okay. Let's start over. Where's the link? I don't have the link. You have the link because you're talking to me right now. There's another link below. Don't click on it. Don't click on it. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Xerxes' next job is like hostage negotiating.
Right. Like, I know I say this with Carmen's show that just came out, but why these comedians, performers, don't have a setup already, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's too late. Over 100 days into a pandemic, you all own a mic. That is a rule.
I think they don't want to be like, I think they are, and like everybody's hoping this somehow ends on Thursday, and they'd be embarrassed if they bought a microphone. Then what do they do with a $50 microphone? First of all, microphones, $10, $20, you can have a microphone and sound so much better. Just do it.
I don't want to get ahead, but you mentioned Carmen, and Xerxes noticed her equipment is hundreds of dollars. She just doesn't know how to use it.
Right.
Anyway, I'm getting ahead. Sergio, fantastic. Totally worth the mic check. The snakes, the dogs,
the
honesty. Just a delightful, delightful person.
The snakes. That was so funny when he's talking about how having like maybe less than fully legal pets, exotic pets, is like mm-hmm. his wild guy outlet.
It's his new drug. I said, does that take the place of drinking? He goes, absolutely. He's like, because it's all exciting. I go outside. If I paid ahead of time, I don't know if I'm getting my drugs. I mean, snakes. I don't know if I'm going to get a bad drug. I mean, snake. I don't know if, yeah, he loves the adventure, the scariness.
And again, also, I love that Keith starts making fun of having sex. He's like, oh, it's so good to watch them eat the mice and then their bodies get big. And it's like, you know, in some other spaces, Keith would just get punched in the face. But in this, he's like, ah, Keith, that's you.
I love this pandemic. I'm like, what are you going to do? You know,
I'm over here. The story of the woman with the hammer and the wedges walking backwards from the scene of the crime. I was like, I want Sergio to read the newspaper to me in place of that NY1 guy who's on NY1. Imagine if it was Sergio being like, just, and then.
Dude, it's too much.
Wedges.
I know. He's like, you guys are not responding to wedges. I'm like, wedges, those are tough to walk on. He's like, yeah, wedges.
He worked in Foot Locker or something. He's like, let me tell you guys something.
She wedges. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I gasped audibly. I was shocked. I fell to the floor. I started weeping. I was like, wedges? She did it all in wedges? What are you saying? This is absolutely insane. So it was really... It was really fun to have a new guest. A new guest during Quar is always a good time.
Yep. I like that cute way of saying it. In the middle of this
I call it the pandemic.
Ah, yes. We're doing our pandemic tour.
Pandemic. Also, he's missing half a finger, similar to my great uncle Anthony, and his wife doesn't let that one anywhere near her. I thought that was pretty funny.
Right. It's just creepy to her. What? How did your uncle lose a finger or two?
You know, unclear. I think that was just kind of the era where it was pretty common.
Common?
Expected that you would not maintain all of your digits.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of children were lost. A lot of fingers were lost. It was a weird time.
Yeah. I think I asked him once and he said something about a pipe. So,
okay.
That didn't clear it up.
Nope. I think it made it a little more confusing, actually.
Yeah. Said something, a pipe.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
A pipe bomb?
Probably not. You know,
probably not.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. He was about 5'1". He was fun guy.
All right. Rest in peace.
Yeah, RIP. And what was the poll here, my friend?
The poll was in relation, pal, to the 30 Rock taking out four episodes of blackface in their shows, which means they're taking it out of syndication and streaming. But I have to assume that if you bought the collection, you would get every show. I know me, I'd go out of my way to find these shows. In fact, I'd probably stop at that point and be like, well, I'm never going to follow the story of Liz Lemon. You know, you take this out. I see Community took out a show. A lot of shows are taking out the blackface episodes, which is, and I know I said this, isn't my place to say, being white. I don't know. To me, it's just weird because, you know, in these shows, they're pretty woke shows. Community, 30 Rock, you're obviously showing who the asshole is. It's the person in blackface not understanding.
Right.
But well, also going back in time in order to change what happened, I don't know. Are you going to go back and take all the crazy sexist parts, the rapes that were called romance? Are you going to take those parts out? Because we were not cool with a lot of people. And I know that this has more history, but this country has also a history of hating women, and we've really treated them poorly. So that's the only comparison I can make, that I wouldn't want that. And I wouldn't want it with Middle Eastern roles, even though, I don't know, name a Middle Eastern part that's been like, right on, you guys really got us. That is us. Yes. Thank you.
Isn't it funny that somehow Tropic Thunder is still okay? They're like, well, that's a whole movie. That's too much. I mean, what are we going to do? That's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting because I did just rewatch 30 Rock, the entire thing, like last month. And it was always one of my favorite shows, still is. But I do remember seeing those episodes and those scenes and being like, oh my God, I can't believe that they did this. Like, this is really like, wow. Like, are we allowed to be watching this? Like, that was my feeling as a white person, was like, is this allowed? And then I think what Tina Fey said was interesting, which was like, you know, I don't think now, after, you know, reflecting on this, I don't feel like, even though my intention was good and my intention was to poke fun at like the absurdity of this history, like as a white person, that's not enough to justify putting it out there for like a young comedy fantasy. I don't know. I just thought her statement.
I get that. How about, how many black people were on that show?
I don't have an exact tally for you, Hemda.
Two. Is two right?
More than two. More than two.
Well, there was that extra that one day. So are you going to insert more black people to show more equality in the past? No, this is what our show was about, not this other thing. It's what your show is about.
The way they took the FBI's guns in E.T. and turned them into walkie-talkies, should they go back and just add more black people in the background of scenes?
I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is. You know, I really don't know the answer.
And me neither. And I'm just, these are just like thoughts that come in my mind. Like, it just feels like an eraser, but you can't go back in time and erase. But I also know that, you know, even you said when you're watching it, you're like, this is uncomfortable. But our history is so uncomfortable. You're not taking away.
No, and I think that's what was kind of great about it, was that most of what the show was trying to say is that blackface happened in media, and it was an atrocious sort of horrifying stain on this particular piece of television history, except for one blackface thing, which was just about like a play on words joke. But anyway,
we'll never see
them again, so we don't have to worry about it. They're gone. Erase, right. delete.
You can't find them anywhere, right? Yeah, it is weird that, you know, you can't. Is it better to be able to go back and be like, hey, look what we thought was funny, and even if you had a good heart, it's not that, as opposed to just deleting it and having nothing to look back on. But again, with that said, you can obviously still find these shows. Anyway, we asked the poll, Liz Lemon is taking the shows with blackface out of syndication, yay or nay? 59%. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. 59%.
I'd like to ask the 59% which episodes they skip of other shows as soon as they see something like that. As soon as they see an injustice, I don't know. Do you watch the shows that make you feel uncomfortable? Do you skip it and keep watching? Aren't you still supporting the same show by watching all except for that? Where does the support start and end? What's yay about it? Explain it to me, and I'm not being a dick. I just want to know what's yay about it.
Is there going to be a blackface collection from all the comedies over the years? And you buy that DVD set? I don't know.
Over the years, people have asked us to take down information. And a lot of times, one of the reasons is we give them reasons like why we're not going to do it. And one of them is you can't make this go away. You can't. This was already recorded. We normally record live. It's out there. And they're like, it's okay if it's out there like this, but not like this. I'm like, good luck. This is.
Also, you're only adding more attention to your story.
Right. I'm like, okay, if we take this down, which we're not going to, it's going to be the most Googled episode. So, okay.
Well, you know, I think we've solved it. I think we're cracked it.
And I understand that, you know, over 15 years of podcasting, you're going to have some shows with blackface. It's just odd. That's all I'm saying.
And this was pre-Zoom, so it was honestly pretty amazing that you managed to pull that off. Wow.
You can hear it. Well, I describe everything that people look like. I really messed up.
And the guest is burning a cork and rubbing the ashes. Okay. Episode 3287, Bingo with Andrea Allen, the king, returns to the show. She's back, baby. Back in business.
Now, a little behind the scenes.
Talking borscht, talking friggin' dating, talking vagina stuff. Boom, shakalaka. Go on.
We all can't be in the same room still. I mean, Andrea and Keith are and can be, and they keep a distance, and they could have recorded in the same room. But as long as I'm not in there, we can't have anybody else in there because it messes with the sound. So Andrea went to Keith's place. Keith is at the studio. I'm at my place in the closet, and we did it.
And she didn't do my dishes or anything, which is interesting.
Oh, dang. Did she go through your medicine cabinet, you think?
She did find a pregnancy test. That's interesting.
What?
Okay, Keith, I think our eyebrows are saying maybe you have a little more, but we don't want to ask, but we do, but you said it, so it's your turn.
Did you have a pregnancy scare?
You know, women, like, if they act like the period is, like, so structured. Like, you know, as if we're supposed to see it coming every month. And it's not.
But
you know better. I know better. We never see it coming because your body doesn't regulate itself properly. So, of course, there's a scare with every woman I ever met in my life.
Well, you know women. We're scared.
I do.
But has the storm passed over?
Yes. Yeah, of course. It always does. Yes. Okay. Another $12?
Can we just put out there that period feels like pregnancy a little bit also, so it's a little confusing. They have crossover symptoms. So sometimes our fear and the crossover symptoms, and it's a couple days or a week late, you start going like, I'm not pregnant. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't ask men to like see it coming so they know when to give you more attention. Nobody ever sees it coming, ever.
Let's just always give more attention. Always. Right. Live in that space. What's up? Are you busy? What's going on? Send an extra text once a day, everybody. That's your second PSA of the day. Boom.
All right. I hear attitude. Get a test.
It's in your tone. Your tone has a little bit of pregnancy in it.
Thank you.
He's telling me to get my tone aborted. Okay.
Yeah.
Keith is crossing a couple lines. So we might have to delete this in the future, Keith. Mind your fucking P's and Q's.
I love the borscht talk. And we had some good Supreme Court action on the borscht issue this past week as well. So it felt like a good complement to real life because Chief Justice John Roberts is doing a lot of unexpected behaviors. He's really been the swing vote, and he's voting, and he's you know, deciding in interesting ways that people aren't expecting, but it's kind of good.
Do you think all the members of the Supreme Court, they do talk to each other and they're like, we still have a job no matter who the fuck hired us?
Maybe. Sometimes I wonder about it, because I mean, I find it fascinating anyway that they could be the only, you know, their cohort is like the only people in the world who do that, and it's so big and important. So obviously they relate to each other on some kind of level, even if they're like, quote, on opposite ends of the political spectrum, even though they're supposed to be, you know, impartially interpreting the law. But yeah, I think they probably talk to each other about how dumb Trump is and how the weather is good or bad, or, you know, like, they probably just have regular convos sometimes,
I assume.
I don't know.
It's good news. It's good news.
If you're a Supreme Court justice listening, please comment on the forums and right. Let us know.
Right. You can use a fake name.
Yeah. Blind use item.
Use another Supreme Court justice's yeah. name and we won't know.
COVID dating. Andrea's on the front lines, and the way she described her date sounds like we really are in the purge in real life. Like, in a park surrounded by police. Fireworks going off everywhere. Where are they coming from? Is it a conspiracy? A man hands you a vape pen. Is he trying to kill you? You know, it's like we don't know. We're in the purge, but we are. So I'm just glad she
is alive,
made it out of there.
Yeah.
And yeah. I hope it was worth it. She's like, yeah, he's kind of a fuck boy. You know, we can't touch or talk or really even do anything. And Bianca, his personality's kind of bad, but
it was a picnic. Like, everything is worth a picnic.
It sounds like he blew it, because the story continues that she sent him a picture. He sent her a picture showing that he got punched in a bar. There's blood down his shirt. He got punched in a bar defending somehow trans issues. And so, but all she's thinking is like, motherfucker, where's your mask? Why are you in a bar? Et cetera, et cetera. So that relationship might be done. I'm not sure.
Also, like, it's not like menschy to send a picture of yourself bloodied and be like, yeah, I did this to save and help others. Right. And I wanted you to see it because right. I'm great.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I can take a punch.
Yeah. And even though he was the one punched, my automatic thought was, what a douchebag getting himself into, like, who gets into a fight mid-30s? Like,
right.
And then it's like, that should be an event. Like, holy shit, I got into a fight. It came out of nowhere. Like, who gets into a fight? Like, he should be besides himself. Like, what happened tonight? Maybe. But, you know, it's like Keith has said before, what time does that happen? It happens between, like, 2 and 4 in the morning, 1 in the morning. What did you say? Nothing good happens past 2 a.m.
Nothing.
Well, you know, I'm hard on these guys, but it's only because I love Andrea so much and I want her to be, you know, treated with the respect she deserves. And so I'm always going to look askance at these fellas. And yeah, especially if he's bringing dip to the date, which, as we all know, is the most dangerous food.
It's the most sherry shit ever.
Right. Like, even dip? without a virus, you got to figure out, you know, how people play a dip.
You know what it is? It's people in New York are used to bringing dip because we can't. A lot of us are not making food and traveling with it to a party where, you know, in a different state, you put it in your car. So there's a lot of that stuff. When you have a party here, do not buy potato chips and do not buy salsa, because every single person coming through to your house, like, I think at one point I made a no salsa rule, because no one ends up eating it for however much people seem to love salsa. And there's like 3 to 4 jars of salsa for the rest of your life in the house. Always, always, always.
That's so true. And if you've ever tried to bring a casserole dish on the subway, you know what we're talking about.
But can we talk picnics for a second?
Yeah, let's talk picnics. Thank you. Let's get to it. You know, I mean, enough beating around the bush. It's like, it's time, you know, it's in the news. We got to talk picnics. Hemda, go. Crossfire.
Thank you for understanding. Listen to me. I love picnics. I love the idea of it. I've been
Hemda
on
loves
myself.
Picnics. Keith, care to respond? No, sorry. Go ahead.
I have mentioned picnics to probably every boyfriend. Who knows? Probably every boyfriend. And none of them set me up with a picnic. And I don't know if I just raised my voice so Xerxes can hear this in the next room / outside of this closet or what. But at some point outside of this pandemic, I demand a picnic. And I don't see how hard it is. You know, I count a lot of things as picnic. I count if you bring a blanket and a store-bought sandwich, that's a picnic. I count if you bring a blanket and you rolled a spliff, that's a picnic. No, you have to have a little bit of food. Yeah, so some food and a picnic blanket. Thank you.
I feel like Xerxes is already in trouble. Right?
The other day I told him I'm good with cards and he goes, I'm not going to be tricked. I'm like, no. I just think that, you know, we've gotten closer. We found, like, you know, really good ways to open up. And I feel like I'm getting a lot more expression from you. So I'm not really as much looking for that. And he's like, no, now I'm giving you 30 cards next birthday. I will not be tricked.
Right. Now he's going to bring you to a picnic and make you read cards the whole time.
Right. Read it out loud.
And Keith, we're dying to hear your take on picnics. Keith Malley from the anti-picnic lobby. Mr. Malley, thank you for being here. Let's hear what you have to say. Picnics, go.
They're like picnics. I'm like, what? You know?
As articulate as ever. Yes, the other side wins.
Wow.
I'll look.
Can't argue with that.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Keith, you're not a big picnic person. You're like, where do I wash my hands after this sandwich? Where am I peeing?
I bring a water bowl to dip my hands in.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, hot take.
Yeah. I can't picture Keith sitting on the ground.
I can sit on the ground.
I can't picture you sitting like crisscross applesauce anywhere.
No, I am very fidgety.
I feel like you're either in a chair or you're standing. I could picture you standing at a picnic, like next to the picnic.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
Like a cop.
Yeah. Just to keep an eye on everybody.
Picnic patrol. Right.
I pass my date grapes, but I'm standing up. She's sitting down.
Wait, Keith, we went to Wally's Burger Mania, which is as close to a picnic as I think you've gotten. Everybody's sitting on the ground because it's just an open New York City park. Did you sit on the ground?
Probably, by accident.
No, he never did.
I think you might have fallen on the ground for a second, but I don't remember you sitting on the ground.
Well, I got lost. It took me over to find the picnic. And then, when I saw everybody, right. I fell over. But then, eventually, I got my bearings and was standing up.
Oh, that's right. It took a couple of phone calls and us staying on the phone with you saying, turn right, turn left.
Yeah, it's a big park.
It is a big park. I will give you that.
I'm so right about Keith not sitting on the ground. I think I might be a genius. Okay, let's move on. Speaking of Keith and his brother, Ken, we're going to talk.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. The poll.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Excuse me.
That picnic talk just took us away.
What a
faux pas. I saw the movie The Soloist, and it led to this poll. Do you hear schizophrenic type voices? And in our audience, 100% no. No one is crazy in our audience. Good.
That's funny. I thought it would be another 59%.
But nobody has this issue, so that's good.
Or the voices are telling them to hit no.
Yeah, you can't. All these voices, they always say, keep it a secret. Don't let anybody know. So maybe. Yeah. Mm. We'll never get to the bottom of this one.
No.
Well, you know, polls aside, I think we can all agree that if you're hearing voices and you're asked in a poll, do you hear voices? Your voices will probably tell you, do not answer that poll truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all out to get you. Right.
Or else. Okay. Episode 6 of Daddy Issues.
Brand new.
Brand new. I know. Kind of skipping ahead, but I couldn't help it.
Sure.
Leaves. And what is this a reference to? Well, my son, this is a reference to that feeling of nostalgia coupled with the feeling of aging that happens on a fall day when one straps on his very shoes and traverses the length of the yard under the swaying boughs of the sugar maples. And underfoot, what doth one hear but a very crunching?
Satisfying.
Of said leaves, and the crunching as it makes its way up from the forest floor into the ear canal does in fact remind one of one's misspent youth, and verily thus, wherefore might the great beyond take you into the mantle of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Leaves.
I do feel like that was a poem from your dad about how he hates all his children. Am I close?
You're not wrong. My dad knows that he will die at the end of October of this year in 4 months.
Does that spook you a little?
No. There's no doctor told him that. He feels it. Simply a guess. And he is ESP. And I in that show, I talk about how I emailed my dad, you know, live as the show was happening. And I said, oh, I can't believe I've been so rude to you. I hear you're dying at the end of October. I found out since then that he's written my brother Ken and said, you have told Keith that I'm dying in October. And if I wanted other people to know that, I would have told them. So it's like, yeah, because all your shit is weirdly one-on-one.
Wow.
And you just wanted Ken, who's been kind of, you know, up and down with you attitude-wise. You want to make sure he feels bad and is nicer to you. You don't want to tell other siblings because we'd all go, what the fuck? But maybe one-on-one, you can trick a person.
Did it affect Ken?
No.
Okay. Do you guys think it's like, no, what am I talking about? I was going to mention suicide. No.
No, he's not going to kill himself. He'll still be around.
Mm-hmm. But I liked when you ended your email, have a good couple of months.
And it's funny what me and Ken debate about, because first I wrote, have a good couple months? Like, yeah. Okay. And then he's like, I wouldn't have the question mark. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
I know. I like that. You're like, yeah, no, you're right. Respect. my father, most distinguished father of mine.
Why is your dad even talking to you anymore? Why does he hit reply on anything?
We literally keep him alive with this stuff. We're the only people he talks to. In that show, he mentions, you know, he's like, he brings it up saying about putting mom into an old age home. And would she go without me if I was gone? That may happen sooner than you believe. So we have to break that down and figure out he means he'll die first. And he goes, in fact, the end of October.
It's just so bizarre. And I totally get why he didn't let you talk to other people growing up, because you would have even more so realized that he
is a weirdo. Yeah, because Keith, you not only had to talk to some people about it, you started a podcast. Tens of thousands of people heard about it. Then 10 years later, you were like, maybe I was abused. I mean, you start at a zero and he tells you to speak to a negative amount of people. You got to to get to the heart of this, you had to start a podcast. Enough people had to listen to your story. Not just one therapist. No. Not the Malleys. Right. No. Several thousand people need to go, hey, Keith, I have a thought about this upbringing that you wrote an entire book about that was actually interesting. And when an autobiography is interesting, that's not good for the writer.
Yeah, like, I mentioned, I think I said this on Keith and the Girl, but how my mom said, hey, did you call your father on Father's Day? And then a listener wrote, maybe that was your dad writing on her phone, hey, call your dad.
Such a good
and
point.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. But yes, I can easily see that. And on the, Daddy Issues, I asked Ken and he goes, yeah, I thought that too. Like, yeah, could be. Who knows? We won't know. All right.
The whole detective team here in the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, RIP your dad.
Well, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in today.
October. So yeah. Late everybody October. Set your watches for late October.
So he can finally crunch through those leaves that he loved. I've never seen him crunch through leaves in his life. But anyway, it's his dream to always do it. And he will get in one final crunch in the fall before he falls.
Wow, he's also predicting the weather. Nice.
Right.
I just can't. I mean, did Ken already reply? Because it's like, well, I was very, upset when I heard the news that you're going to die.
Actually, they just kept talking about other things. And so I wonder if my dad's like, motherfucker, I just said. But yeah, when I asked, I was surprised that Ken was fine with it. But yeah, he doesn't give a shit anymore either. And I said, can I tell him I know about he's dying in October? He goes, yeah, sure. Who gives a fuck? I'm like, all right.
For Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting side to the whole thing. I like hearing from Ken.
Yeah.
So shout out to Ken and shout out to your mom and your dad and all the other Mallies. And
shout out to Picnics. Shout out to
Picnics. Yeah. Do you guys want to give any shout outs? I know we have to have a word from our sponsors before we leave.
We do have the OMAT Club, and if you keithandthegirl.com/OMAT, you'll see what's doing there. And with the code VIP25, you get $25 off. And I love this club. I'm there every single day, early in the morning, get my day started.
Keith does it twice in a morning. So does Xerxes. Yeah.
I'm twice as good.
Does that make it 2 minutes at a time?
Hello. I knew it was a track.
Do the math, people. Well, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the have fun and enjoy life headspace. And if we do it this minute and then maybe the same next minute, who knows? We'll see what happens,
Oh, I can give an early exclusive here about
breaking news.
Yes. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep. Go ahead, Hemda.
So next week, we haven't even announced this yet on the regular show, July 11th, that Saturday, is the next live silent trailers. Mm. And so far, two of the guests are, we haven't heard from them for a very long time, one longer than the other, the original Jesse Joyce.
Hey-o.
And I believe this next guest was, our first CATCA award winner for best new guest, Ben Lerman.
Hey-o.
Ooh, baby.
Classic KATG coming at you. Of course, everybody listening to the show will get a free ticket because VIPs get in for free. So that link will be up. Follow us on social media so you can make sure you get in there.
And hopefully neither have a microphone.
Well, even though it's the purge out there, I'm glad to be in here with you guys over Zoom, and let Siri hear this, what I'm about to sing next, so she can suggest more products for me. The purge, children, it's outside of our doors. Don't bring salsa. It's just a chip away. It's just a chip away. Whoa. Purge guys, they're outside. The Rolling Stones band. Keith and the Girl.com.
Yeah, it's safe to say you broke the algorithm.